Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. We're going to talk about a paper written, an article written in Psychology Today by a good friend of the podcast.
A friend of ours, that's right.
Dr. Leslie Korn. Mm-hmm. She has written some fantastic books. I reference some of her books very often.
Frequently, right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she writes a lot on nutrition and mental health.
Right.
And so this is an article that she wrote for Psychology Today that just came out just the middle of last month, middle of January, and it's entitled The Relationship Between Stress, Trauma, and Diabetes Type 2.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked, so this is a little bit of a shift from what we've been talking about over the course of the week, but it is very related to, we kind of talked about stress a little bit last week and happiness and everything, but the idea here is that what she's getting to is that sometimes the way that our emotional health is, sometimes the quality of our mental health affects our physical health.
And you wonder with teenagers, because they have notoriously poor diets, if this isn't contributing in some way to the other the other struggles they're having.
Yeah.
Because I've had four children, and their teenage years, that was a battle, because of the kinds of foods that they ate. And you begin to wonder.
Yeah. Anytime I see a teenager and they are complaining about the stomach problems or headaches or any of that kind of stuff, first place I go is to their diet.
Sure.
What's going on with their diet?
Right. They don't sleep well, first of all. Mm-hmm. Many of them don't exercise enough, but certainly their diets. I mean, these are the kids who are eating fast food, junk food, chicken this and chicken that. And so you wonder about what role the diet or what contribution their nutrition has to their levels of stress and their emotional ups and downs.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and she refers to the stress here as a contributing factor to metabolic changes that can result in diabetes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, because we always think about sugar directly as a, if you eat a lot of sugar, if you have a high sugar intake, that increases your risk of diabetes. Right. If you're seriously overweight, you increase your risk of diabetes. And all of that is true. But what I think a lot of people have a difficult time appreciating is that when our body is under a consistent or constant state of stress, the cortisol and adrenaline that's in your body triggers the release, the ongoing release of sugar into your bloodstream.
You know, one of the most memorable comments that Dr. Korn made was when we interviewed her. And she said, imagine that if, you know, we've all stubbed our toes to the point of damaging them, where they really, really hurt. Mm-hmm. And she said, imagine damaging your toe on a Tuesday.
Right.
And then damaging it again on Wednesday, and again on Thursday, and again on Friday. Every day you keep bumping that same, how much it would hurt. She said, that's what we're doing with a poor diet, is once we start this metabolic cascade, if we don't change something, we continue to do that same damage, and we continue to produce these very destructive chemicals in our body that result in serious health problems.
Right.
Diabetes is one, osteoarthritis, arthritis is another.
Right.
And so that's why we wanted to talk about this today.
Yeah. She says that there's three types of stress, and I really like this first one. Eustress.
Right.
It reminds me of a construct that J.R.R. Tolkien used in his books called eucatastrophe.
Right.
And it's but eustress is stress that is derived from positive life challenges. So
that's
when you get a new job or when you are learning a new skill or doing something positive, moving in a healthy direction, sometimes that causes some stress. It stresses the system to some extent.
But it's stress that can be positive.
Right.
If I'm doing a presentation, or when we do presentations, you always have you're a little bit nervous, or you're preparing for an athletic event.
Right.
You have an upcoming athletic event, and you get butterflies. And
right.
So that's sort of normal stress.
Motivational stress.
Motivational stress,
that moves you in a positive direction.
And we talked about that. You know, we don't want to get it too high. You don't want to get that anxiety too high, because then it becomes negative, a negative influence. But eustress is this sort of positive motivating stress.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's that happy medium there for the Yerkes-Dodson's curve. Did I say it right?
I wasn't going to mention it, but now that you have, yes, Yerkes-Dodson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the second type is stress itself, you know, and this is just stress that comes about as a result of challenging life experiences, sure, like you know, work-related stress or relationship stress. And these
deadlines.
are quote-unquote normal stress,
right,
that we have in life.
Yeah, deadlines,
right?
You know, not having enough time to get everything finished, or getting behind, or doing something incorrectly, or having a fender bender.
Right.
All of life's little stressors.
Stressors that we experience on a day-to-day basis,
right,
that we typically handle.
Right.
The third type is traumatic stress. And this is stress that taxes the system to the point where we have some dysfunction.
Right. Here with traumatic stress, it overwhelms your body. Normally, we can handle the normal, like eustress and normal stress. And our body has a way of managing those.
Right.
With traumatic stress, our body gets overwhelmed.
Right.
And that's what she's mainly concerned about here, is traumatic stress, what she calls traumatic stress. It doesn't have to necessarily be a traumatic event. Could be an accumulation of events. So we're not talking about trauma in the classic sense of the word. When she talks about traumatic stress, she's talking about stress that eventually overwhelms the body's ability to manage it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so the way that she explains it, which I think she does in a wonderful way, is that when we're under chronic stress, especially traumatic stress, when we're under chronic stress conditions, our body maintains a high level of cortisol in the system.
That's right.
Cortisol inhibits, prevents, decreases your body's ability to utilize and produce insulin.
And we stop there,
right,
pause there to make that connection that when you're stressed, your body produces cortisol. That's a steroid hormone. And that interferes with two things, production and use.
Utilization.
So the production and use of insulin.
Right.
And so there's the diabetes connection.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because if your body's not producing and utilizing insulin efficiently, you get this spike, this elevation, this increase in blood glucose levels. You get an increase in blood sugar.
Right.
And so, absolutely. So this is where we get into the realm of diabetes, because we have this chronic state, chronic exposure, biological exposure of lower insulin levels, and higher sugar levels.
That's right. So when you say, I remember when I was growing up, I would hear adults talk about, well, she has sugar. I never knew what that meant. What it meant is she has diabetes.
Right.
But it's because there isn't enough insulin, you have too much glucose.
Right.
And so that's what they were actually saying.
I don't
think they understood the biology
right.
of it or the chemistry of it, but yes, it was too much glucose in your system because you don't have enough insulin to break it down.
Now, I don't know if you want to go into a lot of the detail here. She breaks this stuff down. Oh, it's so good. It's such good stuff, because she talks about, you know, the issue of increased calcium levels and
well, I think that is important. I think there are two things that are really important. It's dense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a simple explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, I think most people can understand it. I mean, understand the way she puts it. But I think there are two important things here. One is that you have elevated cortisol levels throughout the day.
Right.
And you're not supposed to.
Right.
Okay? You're supposed to have elevated cortisol in the morning because it motivates you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's supposed to go down gradually
throughout the day.
Through the course of the day so that you can sleep.
Right.
That's one important point.
Right.
And I think that's really important for people who are on poor diets, people who are who have themselves under stress for some reason. Your cortisol levels should be high in the morning and lower in the day.
Right.
When we take salivary cortisol levels, it depends when you take it as to how much there should be. But it should start high and gradually decrease. If it doesn't, if cortisol stays high at night, it's going to lead to insomnia. And other kinds of problems.
Right.
So that's why you're not sleeping well.
Right.
There's too much cortisol in your system.
Right.
Okay. So that's one important point. But I think the calcium connection is really important.
Right. So when you have high levels of cortisol in your system over a chronic amount of time, she refers to the fact that cortisol is sometimes referred to as the hormone of death.
The hormone of death.
Right.
Cortisol is the hormone of death.
Because it binds to nerve cells, all right? And in those neuronal receptors. And what happens in the brain is this results in an increase in calcium. Folks, this is fascinating stuff. And we recognize that it's heavy. But the way that... I think that the reason that... The other reason that we want to point this out is because we think, oh, calcium is important because it's important for our bones and everything. Yes, that's true to a large extent. However, too much of some of this stuff is a problem.
Too much calcium.
Too much calcium leads to cell death because it binds to the receptor sites, and so the neurons cannot communicate the way that they need to communicate. Mm-hmm. And so it leads to cell death, which is cognitive decline. If your neurons start dying, your brain isn't going to function the way that it needs to. We refer to that as dementia. All right?
And that's...
And dementia is now in many... from many researchers and stuff like that, dementia is being referred to as type 3 diabetes.
Type 3 diabetes. This was a shock to me when I first made all these connections. But to refer to dementia as type 3 diabetes, because the cortisol, and it's a complicated endocrine metabolic process, but the if we can walk through it, the cortisol destroys the cell membrane.
Right.
That allows calcium, which is ever present.
Right.
I mean, we have calcium channels. I mean, it's one of the...
It's there.
It's necessary. Always there, okay? But it's kept at bay by this balance, okay? Well, when you produce cortisol because of too much stress and it destroys those cells, then you have... And that's the cell death part, the hormone of death. You destroy these cells. It allows too much calcium to enter the system.
Right.
And calcium... is what causes the dementia.
Right.
Okay. So, and that's the type 3 diabetes.
Right. Yeah. And granted, it is a little bit different than what we often think of with different forms of dementia, because there's a variety of forms of dementia, from Alzheimer's to Parkinsonian dementia to
Lewy bodies
to vascular dementia. There's lots of different kinds, but this is one in particular that is a result of chronic stress and diabetic types of presentations.
That's right. And it's preventable.
Right.
And that's what she keeps repeating throughout, that this is all preventable.
Right.
So if you're having liver problems, if you're having gallbladder problems, if you've had any of those organs, your gallbladder removed, or you're having liver problems, be very, very, very careful about your nutrition because you're already at a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So it's even more important that you have a very nutritious, well-balanced diet.
Right.
And stay away from those foods like fried foods and processed foods that are creating these, that add to these problems, exacerbate these problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So she has a new book called Preventing and Treating Diabetes Naturally, the Native Way, and where she talks about, reducing stress, dealing with diabetes from the perspective of not just what you're eating, because that's sort of a given, but also by reducing stress, exercising, and having some of these other healthy lifestyle decisions that lower those cortisol levels so that your body functions better.
That's right. Yeah. We always talk about in the old days, we used to think that stress resulted in weight loss.
Right.
Just the opposite.
Yeah.
This increased stress is also one of the reasons why it's very difficult to get rid of excess weight, especially weight around the dangerous weight
midsection.
Around your midsection. So there's just nothing good about cortisol.
No.
I mean, it's just a real, real problem.
It's necessary.
You need it.
Acutely.
Right.
If you got to get away from a bear, you want cortisol there.
And you want it in the morning to get you going.
If you twist your knee, you want some cortisol to go there mm-hmm. to decrease the inflammation around your knee.
Right.
But you don't want it there because you you have to get to work at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want it there because of these just daily normal life events.
It causes inflammation.
Right.
Right.
It decreases inflammation.
I mean, decreases inflammation.
It works to decrease inflammation, which is why you get cortisol shots if you, right. you know, if
cortisone,
your
blood's hurting. The, yeah. the cream, is an anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, but too much of it for too long is a problem.
Right.
So, yeah. All right. That is it. Check out the article. Check out her book.
Yeah, she's the real deal. When she talks about natives, she spent a long time in Mexico and South America learning about these the healing properties of foods. Because after all, that's where most of our medicines come from.
Right,
is from plants, and so
she really knows.
She really knows this area well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, she's She's really good.
That is it for today. Mm-hmm. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.